Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The staple of the show at this point in the 11 o'clock hour, and that is Rich Kleiman, who, of course, is KD's business partner, and they have a couple of different ventures together, including 35 Ventures. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm good, my man. Good morning to you as well. Happy to be back.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. Obviously, a lot going on in the world, and a lot went on in the last 48 hours. I think the interesting thing, we got into this a little bit last week, although it wasn't really as much of a sports conversation. You know, Drew Brees really elicited the start of that with his not understanding. And the thing that's so interesting to me is he went from having one viewpoint on Wednesday to a completely opposite viewpoint 48 hours later.
Well, I think hopefully what that is that he understands a bit better now. I don't necessarily believe that Drew Brees was ever a racist. However, I think that when you talk about systematic oppression and you talk about truly needing to fix racism in this country, a lot of it comes in the form of people saying things like that without having the awareness and understanding of how deep-rooted the pain and agony is. And sure, you should respect the fact that your grandfathers fought, but in no means is there a wrong way to protest. In no means has this flag in this country represented everybody equally across the country. So for him not to see that and understand that it was wrong and it was representative of problems in our country, if he hadn't fixed the statements and he hadn't seen how wrong he was and changed it, then the problem in his life would have continued. So you have to hope that there are more people that are able to see what they are feeling and thinking deep down inside is wrong. And when that change starts to happen, that's how you make change. So, you know, I think Drew Brees is starting to see, and you know, like the kind of man he is, you understand now that like he sees his wrong and he's continuing to confirm that he wants to learn, he wants to listen, and he wants to be better. So, you know, I think that this was a pretty big moment to see someone of that caliber make such a have such a revolution in his mind and understand.
Yeah, and teammates came out and really were anti his original statements. And listen, you know, maybe this is exactly what you need, is someone to feel a certain way, be educated appropriately, see the light of day, and then kind of fix their misstep. And if that's what comes from this, and there are more people that can do that, and it feels like, you know, that this week things are pushing in the right direction, you know, maybe this is all for the greater good.
Yeah. It has to be. This time in our life, you have to believe and hope that we're living in the middle of history right now, and that these moments throughout the history of our country where real change has happened look and feel like this, and maybe never before at this caliber and this level, because maybe there was Band-Aids put on throughout time and rules change, but true systematic oppression means that this has to stay the norm. This has to continue. And the people in positions of power that are responsible for rules and laws, because we can't live in a lawless society, so we need laws that are fair and laws that are equal. And that's going to take a lot of work to change that, because ultimately the conversation is finally changing and the awareness is starting to finally happen. But there's too many people that have this deep down inside rooted in them, and they have to educate themselves, educate their kids, so this doesn't continue, you know. And I think this has to stay going. However, the fact that it's turning peaceful, and the fact that so many people and corporations and people that you would never expect would stand out and start to condemn the way that our system has run, is these are major steps, you know. And you have to think that the idea that this pandemic kept everyone home and so aware has played a big part of that. And if that's any blessing coming out of the virus, it's that this has been able to get this stage, don't you think?
Tremendous stage. I do. I mean, let's be fair. Now, it's a huge thing, and it's, you know, probably the biggest story in the world right now. But if sports were going on and there were other things outside of COVID to discuss on a platform, I don't think it would get the nonstop discussion that it's gotten. And I think you're 100% right, because it's a sports story. I mean, the NFL is heavily involved. You got the NBA players are heavily involved, and it's a real world story. So it's a combination of both, but it does have a real sports outlet here. So it makes sense for everyone to discuss it, and it's important, and everyone needs to discuss it.
Yeah, they do, and it has to continue. That's kind of what my point is, right? So it's like, if Roger Goodell makes this statement, and let's just say the NFL made this statement because they had to, right? So if that's the case, then that's the first step. Now, are all of their mind states within the NFL, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone in particular, but if overall there was a similar representation within that league that there is in our entire society, it's not going to change overnight with a statement. But that statement means that they are accountable now to have to learn and have to educate and have to change. And you need that across the board, and that we have just started to do. So this has to keep going. But you're right. Like, this happened at a time where nobody could hide. Nobody could run and hide from the realities of our society, and that's what the virus has forced, is that line, I think we talked about it last week, that line down the middle between right and wrong, in my opinion, has been drawn. And if you're on the side of wrong, you're going to be exposed right now, and you can't hide. And that's what I think the virus added to this.
I would agree with you. Now, I thought it was a really powerful statement from the commissioner of the NFL last night, Roger Goodell, and I thought very appropriate. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, it was a Friday news dump. Yeah, I mean, it was 6:30 on a Friday, but there's no news dump now, and there's 24-hour coverage, and it's when the NFL commissioner makes a statement like that, it's a powerful statement. And, you know, he could have made it 4 years ago. It felt like they did the opposite. They did everything in their power to try and bury their heads in the sand, which the NFL is very good at. And this time, and I give them credit for taking a stand, taking what most people think and should feel is the right stand, and calling out racism and saying that they stand with their players who need to do things moving forward about it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, listen, the Friday dump, that's just chatter, because, like, what is Friday anymore? I don't even know if there's
days. Every day is the same day anyway.
Yeah, but I'll tell you the one thing that I wish he had said, and there's still time, because this, like I said, this isn't about a statement and then checking out. This is about changing the way society has handled things forever, is that Colin Kaepernick's name should have been mentioned, in my opinion.
I agree. I said it earlier on the show. See, if you listen to the early portions of the show, I spent 5 minutes discussing that Kaepernick's name should have been mentioned, because he really was the pioneer for this movement.
100%. And what he was trying to bring awareness to was something that had been happening forever. However, it happened, like we said, on a stage now that no one could hide from. And the work that he put in culminated in this revolution now that's happening. And I felt like that was appropriate to mention his name. It would have been a major moment. But guess what? We can't hold people accountable for missing the mark on what they say when they're trying to say the right thing and trying to learn and educate. And that's part of it. And now the NFL has to keep going. And that means there's other opportunities to mention his name. Let's get him back in the league, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course. I mean, let's be honest. The only reason he never took another snap in the NFL is because of his protest. I mean, that's the absolute unequivocal only reason that he didn't play football again.
Facts. Of course. I mean,
100%.
No disrespect to Blaine Gabbert, but come on.
No. No disrespect meant at all. But look, was he at the point where he was a starting quarterback? I don't know. Was he at the point where he deserved a chance to start or backup or something? Absolutely. And again, and let's be fair, I don't think, and we got to be honest about it, I don't think every step he made, I think overall his cause was right. And I think the way he went about it, I didn't have an issue with. But there were things that he did that I didn't like, that I didn't think were appropriate. But I thought his message was appropriate.
What did you not like?
I didn't like the socks.
What do you mean?
The pig socks that he wore, I thought were very inappropriate. You don't remember those?
No.
He wore socks with police officers dressed up as pigs.
I don't remember that. But
yeah.
You know, but you have to understand, when imagine if you're angry in a fight. Just imagine you're fighting with somebody when you were younger or earlier in your marriage, and you're so mad that you say something that you don't that you wish you didn't maybe
which,
say.
Which we've all done. Yep.
Don't take it back because the anger was real. You can't worry about what socks he wore or didn't wear. Like, when you're trying to deliver a message of that caliber and the pain is that deep and the agony is that real and that people don't see it, what does it matter? You got to do anything you can. So I hear you in a vacuum at the time before you – that's when the system's not fully – that's what a broken system is, because then someone like you who's – obviously, treats everybody equally, is looking at the socks and saying, ah, is that too much? But now you understand nothing was too much, right? Like, nothing was really too much, if you think about it.
And I think moving forward, and I think if this will be good if it comes from it, is that the NFL will be much more tolerant and understanding of guys needing to protest in a peaceful, respectful way.
1,000%.
So hopefully this, you know, we are moving in the right direction. I didn't know how we would. And tell me if you're, I felt even like last week when I discussed, I feel like this has been going on for so long and there's so little movement and it's so heartbreaking. It's so horrifying. And my answers would be, I don't see how this gets better. And this week I do feel a sense of hope and a sense of we're moving in the right direction. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. But here's the thing. This has to keep going. So,
of course,
I think that what people have to figure out is what they can do, because everybody's role in making a change can't look the same. Somebody called me this morning with some grand scheme of how they wanted to help, and I respect everybody's initiative and their desire and their helplessness right now. But sometimes that just happens at home. Sometimes, like, I keep saying this, but we can't afford to let another generation of children grow up thinking that they can treat someone differently because of how they look, or that everybody should not be treated equal. So that's like a long game now. And even us having these conversations, like even the fact that you're allowing me to come on air on ESPN Sports Radio on a Saturday and talk like this is because we get it. Like, this is something that cannot go away. We talked about it last Saturday. If we're on next Saturday, we got to keep talking about it. And it'll come in different shapes and sizes, but got to keep talking about it.
It's incredibly important. And if we discuss it, and it's uncomfortable, and it should be, and it's supposed to be, and it's okay. Like, if it were comfortable, it wouldn't be so difficult. But it's okay to have uncomfortable conversation, I think, as long as you're respectful within that conversation.
Mm-hmm. And people have to really understand if they're comfortable with themselves. Like, really think, do I think this way? Am I posting all this, but do I still think the old way? Or am I really not this person? Like, you got to think about it and make changes and understand how wrong it is. It's just how wrong. You know what's funny is you teach your children, I would imagine even racist people when they're younger, say to their kids, like, got to treat everybody equal, can't talk to someone like that. And then they're living this, like, complete contradiction. So I think that if, like, every individual can really make sure that they want to do right, you cannot let that happen again. So that's got to be the number one part of the story. And I've always talked to my kids like that. I told my some of the first lessons I've ever taught my kids was to make sure that they grew up and lived like I did in New York City, where we treat everybody the same. We look at everybody for who they are. We don't judge anybody by anything but who they are inside. And I feel good about where my kids are, but I know other people don't feel that way, because then you start seeing kids come in their teen years and you're looking at them and you're like, damn, they sound like their parents. You can't have that happen anymore, because those are the potential lawmakers down the road and decision makers. And man, I just appreciate you letting me talk about it with you.
Of course. And of course they're going to sound like their parents. We've got to take a break. We'll take a break. Rich Kleiman with us, as he is seemingly every Saturday now, which is terrific, in the 11 o'clock hour. 800-919-3776. More of our discussion about what's going on in the world, maybe a little NBA, and then we'll hand it over to Anita Marks next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
East Wind Snack Shop. They have two locations in Brooklyn. They've been serving good Chinese food for over 6 years. They have been on the absolute best dumplings and absolute best pork buns in New York's magazine's best of lists and best cheap eats on the Food Network. Currently, they're open for takeout and delivery and have been active in hospital donations for lunches at SUNY Downstate and Methodist in Brooklyn. Please check out their website, eastwindssnackshop.com, for a closer look at what we are all about. Rich Kleiman with us here for a couple more minutes on 98.7 ESPN. You know, I've become smarter in my time during this COVID pandemic, Rich. The food reads, I wait till the end of the show because they make me hungry, and then I can just run upstairs and have lunch right after.
What's a food read?
Well, these reads for restaurants, for food.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, in general, just the amount of food consumed during COVID is like, you know, if you've been fortunate enough to be sheltered in place and have your family and have enough means to have meals every meal and your pantry fill, if you're helping out, you're also at home just going
eating.
In.
Eating. I had that problem, and now I'm having rice cakes for two meals a day.
While you're on a little diet or something?
Yeah. So you don't know that. I'll let you into my life a little bit. We'll get back to on topic in a moment. I was a heavy set fellow not so long ago. I was 222, and my son had his bar mitzvah in March. And on January 3rd, I said, that's it. I said, I will be less than 200 pounds by his bar mitzvah.
Well, how tall are you?
5'11".
Oh, yeah, 5'11", 220. You're,
yeah, right. Heavy. I mean, not gargantuan, but certainly not healthy and heavy. So I went from 222 January 3rd, 198 for his bar mitzvah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All on rice cakes?
Well, I was just not having any calories, really. Less than 1,000 calories a day. And I was thrilled and looked good in the photos and all that. And then, you know, listen, being locked away and the weather wasn't great, I put on probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 pounds, I'm like 208, something like that. And I said, you know what, enough. And now, yeah. I want to get back below 200. So I'm focused again.
All right.
That's where we're at.
I respect that. You locked in. You got skinny for the pictures for your son. No one wanted fat dad in the bar mitzvah pics.
No.
I get it.
No. Very vain. A lot of vanity there, but that's okay.
Whatever. You're honest. You're being honest.
Exactly. All right, I want to tell you, a UFC 250, live tonight, exclusively on ESPN+. Plus, the best female fighter in the world, Amanda the Lioness Nunes, puts her featherweight title on the line against Felicia Spencer. UFC 250 live tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. Buy it at ESPNplus.com/PPV. The prelims start at 6 o'clock, 4 hours of prelims on ESPN and the ESPN app. Don't you think, and I saw this earlier today, Akeem Nicks of the Bears said that he just felt uncomfortable kneeling during the anthem because he thought that other players or coaches or owners or whoever would look down on him. Don't you think it's going to be an easier avenue for players moving forward when we get back to real sports?
1,000%. And I think it also has put the spotlight on, like, why was that so important? And I say this with respect for people that have fought in the military, but why was that so important? Did that represent our country so much that you felt like it was more important than the racial injustice going on? And now I think people can see this is the priority in our country. This is what's important. And then we can all stand for a flag when we've gotten there. So I think this period in time is going to allow these players to do this and feel comfortable and feel strong about it and see how united we all are. And again, you know, it's disruptive, but it's how you do it. It's how you get there. It wasn't working when players were feeling a certain way and hiding and not being able to kneel because they felt like the commissioner or the owner of their team would feel a certain way. So I think you're right. I think 100%. I think Adrian Peterson said something similar.
He said he's absolutely going to kneel when the season starts. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he said, 100%. And you know what? And I had a caller call earlier today, and I think, you know, a lot of people need to be educated and maybe confused and don't understand exactly. And he said, you know, why couldn't he just take to Twitter? Why couldn't he, you know, have a press conference? You know why? Because you can turn that off. You could say, I'm not interested in that. But if you bring it front and center to an event that everyone wants to be involved and watch, you're forced to see the other side of things and maybe to learn from it.
Of course, yeah. Well, think about it. I didn't even know about the pink socks you referenced, right? Mm-hmm. Because all those other ways of protesting and bringing attention and light to the issues in the country don't get the same response that kneeling did. And that's the point. And it was never about anything but that. And I think finally people are seeing that. I think now the slippery slope is, and maybe this is just the reality of the situation we're in. And I think that if this is the case, then this is just the result of how long people in this country allowed this to go on, which is that if you don't sit and kneel, are you saying that you don't believe in...
I don't think so. And I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I think that's just the slippery slope. You know,
yeah,
I
would agree with you. But I mean, if it bothers you to that extent, you don't have to kneel. At least I would hope you don't feel forced. The same way you don't want to be forced into not, you don't want to force people into doing it if they're uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue with Drew Brees is that what needed to be said was, I don't want to kneel, but I
absolutely. When you start casting judgment on others, I think is when you run into trouble.
Yeah, and casting judgment on how one wants to protest. You know, when somebody needs to protest, you know, you have to respect and support that, especially at an issue that's so clear as day and represented right and wrong. So, you know, I think that that's the bottom line. And I think that Drew Brees saying what he's saying now on this stage, a player of that caliber and someone who's so well respected, is like, okay, this guy realized that not only did he say the wrong thing, because it's not always about fixing what you said. It's about making sure you make it clear that you are listening and learning so you understand why what you said is wrong. That is what I think he's starting to do. And I think it's important that leaders of this caliber can also learn on a main stage, you know? And yes, you've been called out, and it is a sign of the times we're in at the response that you got, and it's real and it's justified, but you're also allowed to learn and grow and listen, and you see him doing that. So I think that that's an inspiration to people that aren't thinking the way they should be thinking.
I could not agree with you more. And on that note, we're going to say goodbye and hand it over to Anita Mark. So the beach house next week, are you tanning with me?
I'm in. Let me ask a question. Anita Marks, how does it work? Like, could I be one of those house guests that just stays on and then moves into her house? It doesn't work like that on the radio.
Well, here's the thing. I'm fine with it, but I don't want to just have you almost squatting and just join her show.
You can't do that. I'll be at your house.
I want you on at the house next week. Why don't you talk to Ty, who's producing her show as well, and then you guys can discuss off the air if you joining her momentarily is something that they're all interested in. I'm fine with it, but I don't want to disturb her show.
I want to understand the landscape. We're good right now. I'll see you next weekend at the house.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.